So we're going to talk about Luke 6. Luke 6, verse 38. I'm going to start in 37, which happens to be the scripture that's on the tithe envelope. So you don't even have to open your Bible. You can just look at your tithe envelope. And it starts here in verse 37. Luke 6, 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If you don't want to be judged, don't judge others. It doesn't say to not judge. It just says if you don't want to be judged, don't judge other people. So if people are judging you, well, it's, you know, probably because you're judging other people. I mean, we can't get through this life without judging. But he says, you know, don't judge. If you don't want to ever be judged, don't ever judge anyone else. But if you do judge, you're going to be used the same measure. So make sure that the measure that you're using is a good one. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. If you don't want other people to condemn you, don't condemn others. Don't write them off. Don't say, not worth the time. If you don't want people to overlook you and say, well, you're not worth the time, don't overlook others. And it's not saying that, you know, we can't make judgments about things or say, you know what, this person's not worth my time anymore. It's just saying, you know what, be careful with how you do it. Be careful with how you judge it. Be careful what measure you use. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Okay, now on this one, you don't have a choice. If you're a Christian, that you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have no choice. You have to forgive. You have to. Because that's what the scripture teaches us, that we have to forgive. God has forgiven us of everything. 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 And he expects us to do the same. That if we receive Jesus, who came and died for us, to set us free from every sin, every indiscretion, every weakness of our morality, our humanity, then we must do the same, because that same Christ lives now in us. And if we want to be in fellowship with him, in union with him, then his character must show in us. And if we decide to stop, then we are no longer in unity with him. We need to let his character flow through us with the measure that we use. He should be the measure. And then it says, give, and it shall be given. And it's not, in it, it's not talking about you give $1, you get $1. It's the attitude. It's the measure. How do you measure up? Do you measure? Do you give out of an abundance? Or, you know, do you weep every time you have to give? You know, do you make little squeaking noises? You know, and if you do, it's okay. It's okay. There's hope. The Spirit of God is generous. And he is compassionate and kind, and he can help you get there. But, you know, if you do have that issue, recognize it. Repent. Let God help you. Let's learn to be generous givers, like God is a generous giver. He didn't die just to save some. He died to save all. He gave for all. And we can learn to give like he gave. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Spirit that dwells in us, and that you are generous and you are kind and you are loving and you are compassionate. And that same Spirit helps us, because that's what it's here for, to help us enter into everything that you have for us. Help us, Lord, to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that we can enter into everything that you have for us, and that we can raise the measure that we use in life, and we can start using a better measure, your measure, when we interact with people in life, so that you get glory and honor. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Jesse Cunningham.
All right, good morning, everybody. I do see some new faces. So those of you who don't know me, my name is Jesse Cunningham. I'm the associate pastor here. It's nice to see everybody. The sun's shining. It's a beautiful day because this is the day the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. So in praying and meditating on about what to speak on here today, the Lord brought me to Joshua, and he told me this is going to be a declaration. This is my New Year's sermon. But it's going to be a declaration for this year, and I hope that as I go through this, you catch the heart of it and you claim it for yourself. Because he told me this is for this congregation, but by all means, it can be shared with anybody else. You know, instead of resolutions, let's declare his promises. Amen. This year. Never been good at resolutions. I have good intentions, but I've stopped doing them long ago because failure can hurt. And so I just removed that from my life, which could be wisdom, I don't know. But let's have expectations for what can happen this year. All right? We got a year ahead of us here. What are we expecting? As individuals, as a church body, what are your expectations this year? Have you put any thought into it? Have I put any thought into it? It's a good question. I'm not going to tell you, but these are the things that should be rising up in us. Because we have a God who speaks to us. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who gave us the Holy Spirit to help us lead and guide us through this. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to be frustrated with how our lives are going because we have the answer. Out of everybody in this world, as Christians and as believers, we have the answer. And it's Jesus Christ. Him crucified, raised again. Right? So we're going to be in Joshua 1. Just a quick backstory. So Moses has died. The first generation of Israelites have all passed away. So now the Lord is bringing them into the promised land. And this is God's conversation with Joshua. Joshua is the new leader. He's taking them over. They're going to possess the land that God had promised. And these scriptures have been foundational in my life, but as I was praying about this, I want to go through and we're going to read through it, and then I'm going to go pull out some little nuggets here and there, and then we'll close up with the actual declaration that I wrote up here. But we're going to start in verse 5. It's verse 5 through 9. It says, no man, and this is the Lord speaking, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Promises. Promises. The Lord spoke. Catch the promises. He says in verse 6, be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Promises. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So, powerful, powerful scriptures. And I understand he's talking to Joshua, but this is the word of God. There's no longer Greek, there's no longer Jew, there's no longer slave. We're all, when we choose Christ, we're all in Christ, and we can claim this scripture because there's promises in there for us. So let's jump back up to verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you. I see no enemies, no circumstance can hold you back. No enemy, no circumstance can hold you down. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Simple. We have a better promise. We have a better covenant than even Moses did. And that's the great part about this. When putting this in perspective of the new covenant, I mean, this is the covenant Moses desired. This is the covenant the prophets longed for. And we have it. I will not leave you or forsake you. We have an advocate. We have help. If you think you're in this alone, you need to reevaluate. If you think you're walking this life out by yourself, you need to stop and say, just no. I don't have to do this by myself. I have the living God on my side, right? These are what we need. This is where our mind needs to go, right? And this comes through maturity. This comes through growth. But most importantly, it comes through relationship with him. We can have a relationship with Almighty God. We can and we should. Because that's where we find our path. That's where we find our way. He says, I will not leave you or forsake you. He's given us all things. I'm going to veer away real quick to 2 Peter because I love these verses. Second Peter 1, verses 3 and 4 say, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. The more we grow in Him, the more relationship grows with Him, the more all things are revealed. When I get past myself and my understanding and how I think I know everything, because, man, my life, there's been a lot of shortcomings and it's been my fault because I didn't put my trust in Him. I wasn't growing in relationship with Him, so how could I possibly know what He has for me? Through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption of this world because of sinful desire. Because of Him, because of this relationship that we can have, it is available. We don't have to walk the way the world walks. We don't have to fear what the world fears. We have Almighty God. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. And it outweighs everything. Everything that we need for life and godliness is found in them and nowhere else. Nowhere else. My life started, truly started, when I finally got this revelation and when I finally let relationship grow. Because it was a struggle for a long, long time. But it doesn't have to be that way. That's the best part about this. It doesn't matter how long you've struggled. It doesn't matter what you've been through or are currently going through. It can change. But where is our mind? Is our mind, you'll never leave me or forsake me? Or does my mind go to, I can't possibly get through this? There's no way out. I got nothing, right? What are we declaring here? As soon as I start going down that road, I'm declaring, sorry, God, you can't help with this one. Which, when you think about it, it's kind of silly. But emotions can run hot sometimes, and we can say foolish things. Thankfully, he loves us so much, and he's so forgiving that even the foolish things I said in the past don't have to hold me back from what he has for me now and in the future. It can be that simple. But the hardest thing to do is get out of your own way. That was the hardest thing for me. Just stop. Stop the destructive habits. Stop the destructive thoughts. That was the hardest for me, was the destructive thoughts. Because, man, could I meditate on some things. And I could get the old blood pressure up. I could get the anxiety flying. Stress, depression, man, I could go to some really terrible places. But my mind wasn't, you'll not leave me or forsake me. I was in my own head. I was in my own thoughts. And it's a dark place. It can be a very dark place. Verse 6, we're back in Joshua. Joshua 1, verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous. So he's given a command. He was given a promise, and then he was given a command. It said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, be strong and courageous. Because it was coming. They were going to see some things. They were going to go through some things. Maybe you're going through some things. Maybe you're dealing with whatever in your heart, with family. It doesn't matter. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore. That swore means an oath, because the Lord gave them an oath. I will bring you into the promised land. It took them a long time to get there, but it didn't matter. That oath still stood. So what word has the Lord given to you? Because he speaks. I guarantee almost each and every one of us in here is standing on something, dealing with something, praying for someone, somebody, something. What is the Lord telling you? What are the promises that he's speaking to you in this? Are we going to stand and be strong and courageous and move forward? Or are we going to doubt? I know that's what the word says, but trust me, I've done it all. When it comes to doubt and unbelief, I've done it all. And it's just better to believe. It truly is just better to believe. It truly is just better to put your trust in him, even when we don't understand it. There's some things in my life I don't necessarily understand, but I know what the word says. And so even if I don't understand it, I'm going to put my trust in the word and say, Lord, reveal. It doesn't always get revealed when I want it to get revealed, but he's faithful. He's trustworthy. So we just need to keep walking this stuff out. So are we willing to obey the command? I'm doing better at that. I'm still not great, but I'm getting better, so improvement is good. Improvement's good. But what's the Lord telling you to do? What's the Lord revealing to you? Because I guarantee what he's revealed to you comes with a promise. We see it all throughout Scripture. But what he is revealing to you comes with a promise. So verse 7. Now he says it again. Only be strong and very courageous. Takes it up a notch. Because what's he doing here? He's taking a leader of his people and he's preparing him to go in. There has to be a new mindset here because they've wandered and wandered and wandered and wandered. For 40 years they wandered when they should have been in the promised land in 3 days. Look it up. Rahab the harlot. When we first heard you cross the Red Sea, our will left us. And that was days after they left Egypt. But what did they do? They do what people do. I can't be too harsh on them. They did what people do. They turned from God. They turned to idols. They turned their back on him. Even seeing these glorious miracles, even seeing him, I mean, they were terrified to see the mountain. You know, like, there was a lot going on there. A lot going on there. But he's preparing Joshua here. Be strong and courageous. Because I have told you, I will never leave you or forsake you. Stand on it. No matter the situation, because they are about to encounter some giants. They're about to encounter a huge city surrounded by a massive wall. There was all sorts of things that they were going to run into. But the Lord said, be strong and be courageous. Now he says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the laws that Moses, my servant, commanded you. So I'm going to substitute law for new covenant. Because that's what we are under. It doesn't take away from what we can learn from the law. It doesn't take away from what we can learn from the Old Testament. But we are new covenant, new Christians. Christ died and rose again for us. We have new and better promises. That's what the word says. But do we believe it? Do we believe it? Do I believe it enough that when the Lord speaks to me, I can be strong and courageous and move forward? In the military, they beat it into you. Sometimes physically, but especially mentally. They beat it into you that when they said go, you were going to go. It didn't matter what was ahead of you. You know? You didn't question it. You just did it. And if it took 40 people to crash into this wall and somehow climb over it, that's what it took. But you did it. I don't care if you ripped doors from hinges. I mean, gosh, it was just, they were so good at instilling this in you that when we say go, you go. That when I say go up that hill, you're not going to look at me. You're just going to say yes, sir, and go. Thankfully, with Christ, we have a much better relationship. We can go about this a different way, but when that command is given, what are we doing with it? I mean, he's a patient, long-suffering God, thankfully. But it comes down to us missing out on blessings. It comes down to us missing out on knowledge and wisdom as we walk this life out because we're not doing what's asked. And every time I preach, I'll say, you don't have to do what's asked. He still loves you. He still loves you. He still wants the best for you. You're going to get to heaven as long as you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're going to get there. But it's the remedial classes or it's the crown and treasure and every, you know, and rewards. And for a long time, I was okay with the remedial classes. I was. That's just where I was in my life. But I'm no longer okay with that. Because the Lord is revealing things to me. He's revealing who he is, what he wants for me, what he wants for my family, what we should be doing. And man, that feels a lot better than just walking around, God, what am I supposed to be doing? Having zero vision, zero purpose, zero drive. I had zero drive in my life. Because everything was overwhelming. Everything was too much. I had no idea anyway, so what's the point? College? Yeah, sure. I was asked to leave. We don't think this is a good fit for you, Mr. Cunningham. I got the letter. It wasn't that I was a bad person. It wasn't that I was disrupting classes, but I didn't care. And when you don't care about anything, how are you supposed to positively impact it? If I don't care about what you're teaching me, and sometimes you just have to power through. You know, if you want degrees, you're going to run into things that classes that you don't want to do, but you got to power through sometimes. But I didn't care about anything, so it didn't matter. Read this book? Yeah, right. Go buy a book and read it? I just gave you thousands of dollars. Why are you not providing me that book? I'm not reading that book. That's who I was. That's just who I was. And I'm not saying it's right, but that's who I was. So we're substituting new covenant, new promises, relationship with the law. Right? They had a very different circumstance. They had a very different situation, Israel and God, just like we do now. Very different. But where are we aligning ourselves? What God are we seeing? Are we seeing the God of the Old Testament? Are we seeing the God of the New Testament who has all these things for us, who has promised all these things for us, who has given us all these things? Are we grabbing them? Or are we telling ourselves we're not worthy, or he doesn't want that from me? I mean, go down your list of excuses. I had them. What are we filling ourselves up with? Continue on in verse 7. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Don't stray from relationship, because in relationship we find direction. We find hope, we find peace, we find vision. We find the wisdom and knowledge and also the correction. I would be remiss to leave out correction, because there isn't correction involved, because I had a lot of wrong thinking about who God was. But God's so good that he does it in a way that he just changes your heart. He changes your heart. He changes your mind towards him so you can continue to walk in this. Because in that relationship is success. In our relationship with God is success. Bottom line. Now, people can experience success in this world. They can. We've seen it. But it's not the success that God had for them. Imagine if we all caught vision of what God truly had for us. Because how many of these people who have earned all this money, earned all this fame in sports, in business, you name it, have died empty? Suicide? I'm thinking of people right now. All these successful people. I mean, look at their lives on Twitter and Facebook. They're great. They're always smiling. They're always doing fun things. They have all the money in the world. What could they possibly lack? And it's horribly sad. Because then they end up killing themselves, and you say, what happened? Where did they go wrong? And then we jump to our conclusions, and we make our judgments, and they just needed Jesus. They needed Jesus, and I pray to God that somewhere along those lines that they found him, proclaimed him. Because, I mean, sometimes we just struggle. Some people just struggle. It doesn't always have to be that way, but I had someone very close to me, my father-in-law. He just struggled. Thankfully, before he passed, amends were made. Forgiveness took place. Relationships were mended. But the guy just struggled. But God still loves him. I know he's in heaven, so things are good for him. But this world just beat him up. This world got him. But I'm here to say that it doesn't have to be that way. We can affect people's lives. We can let Christ affect our lives so we can affect people's lives. Because it's only because of him. It's only because of his love and seeing other people with his love that we can change situations. I've made the statement before, but my goal is to help people change their lives just like my life was changed. Because I know if he can do it to me, he can do it for anybody else. And he wants to do it for everybody else. But am I going to be strong and courageous when he says, go talk to that person? Oh, God. You know, that's not really my strong suit. I'm not really good at these first, you know, initial contact with people. I don't care. Go talk to them. Be strong and courageous. See, now I got to live up to this myself. You know, you preach the stuff, you got to be, can't be a hypocrite here. There's no double standards here. But I do want this for my life. I do want that when the Lord speaks to me, I act. That's what I want. And there's growth involved here. But that is the desire of my heart. But it takes time. I'm going to miss things along the way, but I am going to have victories along the way, and every victory is going to build me up and make me stronger and make me more courageous. But that process will never start if I never open my mouth, if I never take that step to do what's asked. But I can do it because I have a relationship with him. I can do it because I'm experiencing the goodness of God, and I know that when I'm walking in what God has for me, even in the tough times, I find peace that I never found before. I can experience love that I was pushing away for so many years. We can do this, and we can affect those around us as well. Verse 8. This book of the law, this new covenant with all of its, I'm adding this new covenant with all of its promises and all of its potential shall not depart from your mouth. But you should meditate on it day and night. Man, that got me. Because these verses were very instrumental early on in my walk, early on in my coming back to God. It's just, how do I do that? How could I possibly meditate on this day and night? Well, I could certainly meditate on negative things day and night. I was good at that. So why couldn't I? Why can't I? Why can't we meditate on this stuff day and night? That word meditate, I like it says to murmur or ponder. You know, if you hear me just mumbling to myself, I'm not nuts. I'm just meditating on God. I mean, there may be a little something there. People, I don't know, we'll see. But it's okay. We can do this. Once again, we can do this because that's a promise. That was a command given. He says, meditate on this day and night. So there's the command. And the promise is, so that you may be careful to do it according to what is in it. So when I'm meditating on the word, when I'm meditating on his promises, it gets in my heart. The Holy Spirit has something to work with. And then, It says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Are you struggling? Are things not working out like you've expected them to? Are things not going the way you thought they should? It's time to reevaluate. What am I meditating on? Because the Lord says, when I meditate on Him, my way will be prosperous and I will find good success. The command and the promise. Commands are given and promises are there, right? We see it throughout the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and what? He will direct your paths. But the command was trust in the Lord. Because when we trust in the Lord, He will direct my path. When I trust in the Lord, He will direct my family's path. And so on and so on and so on. Lay hands on the sick and what? They shall recover. There's the command. What's the promise? But do I believe it? Do I have it in here? I will say there's times where it's strong. Man, I can come into some situations and, yep, something's about to change and it's good. And then there's times, and I know why there are these times, because I haven't been in the Word. I've been kind of doing my own thing. I slip back into Pinterest and just swiping the phone up and up and up and up and up for hours. I see, at least I can recognize it now. But the command, lay your hands on the sick, and they will recover. It's just what the Bible says. But these are the things we can meditate on. Okay, if you don't quite get that, if that's not quite in your heart, start meditating on it. All right, Lord, I lay my hands on the sick and they recover. Reveal it. I lay my hands on the sick and they recover. For me, it was, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I would sit up loading trailers for hours. I'm not lying when I say this. Hours in and out of loading trailers, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ because I knew what was trying to bombard my mind, but I had to fight it with, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Over and over and over for weeks and weeks and years, and I still do it. Because I filled my mind with a bunch of junk for a lot of years. And it's amazing how it weasels its way in and pops up here and there, and I still have to declare that I have the mind of Christ. I don't need to go down this road anymore. That road is destruction. I don't have to go down this road. I go down your road. I follow your path, Lord. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, the third time in four verses. So he's trying to get a point across here. Let's not miss it. He's trying to get a point across here. Be strong and courageous because something's coming. But I will never leave you or forsake you. When you meditate on me, you'll find the prosperity and the success you're looking for, but you need to be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Fear wipes out everything. Fear is that powerful. Fear is that powerful. It'll eliminate anything God wants to do in your life. But it doesn't have to. Because we have a command that says, be strong and courageous. And then he says it again. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The promise. I am with you. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to let this get you down. I am your God. I have the knowledge, the wisdom, the power, the ability to get you wherever I want you to go. Man, he's that good. He's that good. He loves us that much. So don't allow fear to steal your promises. Don't let fear command your life, because we're being led by something. Whether people believe it or not, you're always being led by something. Let it be his promises, his commands, not the commands of this world, not the fear of this world about what's happening. Not going there, but man, it's not great out there right now in the world. It's not. But be strong and courageous, because God's not done working yet. God's not done moving yet. We still have plans and purposes for our life, and well, it doesn't matter what the world does. I'm still going to proclaim him. I'm still going to preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ so other people can experience this, so other people can know what their road is with him. And don't fear relationship. Don't fear interaction with God. Expect it. Expect it. Expect it. Throughout going forward from here on out, expect the goodness of God. Expect it. So, out of those verses, I wrote a declaration, and I have copies of it if anybody wants one. But I want to declare this over you guys. And feel free to declare this over anybody else. Feel free to read this every day if you need to. But this is all pulled from Joshua, verses 5 through 9. It says, "No enemy or circumstance can overtake me. I am a child of God. You, my God, will never leave me or forsake me. I will believe and act upon your command of be strong and courageous, because you are with me. The words and promises you have spoken are mine, and I declare them over myself and in any situation. I will be strong and very courageous, because you love me and I trust in you. I will keep my eyes fixed on you. In you, I have everything I need for life and godliness. I will meditate on you, your word, and your promises day and night. Only in you do I find true prosperity and true success. I will be strong and courageous, for you, my God, are with me wherever I go." Amen. All right, we'll close in prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you that you are so good. You love us so much, and you desire good things for us, Father. I pray that there is a shift in hearts, that there is a shift in thinking as we go into this year of your goodness towards us, your love towards us. Because in that love, we find freedom. In that love, we find success. And Father, we just thank you that you are with us and that you will never leave us. I pray for safety as we go out through this week, and I pray for opportunities to share your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.